This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
To mourn Lori Gilbert Kay. If you don't know her, I'm going to introduce her to you. Plus, you've got a lot washing out of Washington to it, out of Washington rather. Most of it has to do with what's going on in the election in 2020 and the tweeting back and forth of those that are running, including Joe Biden. And interesting times, don't they say? That's what we live in, and we certainly do. So I'll talk about that and obviously dive into a few other things. As you know how we roll here on America Tonight, my show. If you don't, what we do is we zig and zag in a lot of different directions because I feel like there's not enough attention paid to what's happening in your backyard and in my backyard. So looking ahead at a couple of things coming up later this week, we'll do that cheap movie review. Plus, I'm going to introduce you to a couple of heroes, and I have a few surprises along the way as well. I mentioned the synagogue shooting. That's the woman that was being talked about a lot during the day, Lori Gilbert Kay. If you didn't hear the story, she was the victim of, once again, another crazy mad hatter who decided, I'm going to go into a church, a synagogue, a place of worship, and I'm going to shoot people. So it was a standing room only crowd of about 700 people that were at the Shabbat of Poway Synagogue on Monday. People that weren't members of that congregation who just felt so sad and overwhelmed by what had happened, just showing support that community and denouncing hate and anti-Semitism. She was just 60 years old. She was killed Saturday with about 100 people that were in the synagogue. And in the afternoon, what happened is somebody walks in, I'm not even going to give him a name, even though I know who it is, and he was arrested, and decides he's going to shoot some people and says it's in retaliation for what happened in New Zealand. He did wound some others, including the rabbi, who was shot twice in the, or was shot a couple of times in both hands. But I think the outpouring of love for this woman was incredible. And at the funeral, there were California congressional members, Scott Peters, Susan Davis, Duncan Hunter, State Senator Brian Jones, rabbis from across the country, other faith leaders were there. Lots of people traveled to be there. She had a 22-year-old daughter who spoke at the service and then broke down in the cemetery just completely wailing as her mother's casket arrived at the gravesite, not thinking this is the way she was going to bury her mother. And just an awful, awful thing for any family to have to deal with. So there was reaction from Washington. Sarah Sanders had this to say at the White House daily briefing.
I think the most important thing he's done is to embrace the people of these communities that have been impacted and to condemn this behavior and call it out by name. I think that's something that can't be missed or ignored throughout the process.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we're at, condemning behavior that's outrageous and shocking to us. On the upside of this, more people could have been killed or wounded, but you had an Army vet and a Border Patrol agent that acted quickly, and they chased the synagogue shooter away, thank goodness, because, like I say, there could have been more people that were killed here. So you had somebody who was in the back of the room when the shots rang out. He had his military training, the veteran said, and he went after the gunman, and he stopped shooting when he heard his voice, and Stewart screamed at him. He said, down, I'm going to kill you. So he ran to his car, and he chased him out, and he punched his window and all that kind of thing. So he really full-on went 100% after him, and this is a guy who served in Iraq from March of 2003 to April of 2004, and he had done a lot with the Navy. He was in bomb disposal tech and joined the Army after the September 11th attacks, and it all kicked in, and thank goodness. So one dead, again, buried today, three wounded in the shooting at the synagogue in San Diego, and boy, oh boy, for that family, you definitely have to feel, because this is not something you would expect to happen, and unfortunately, it's becoming too familiar of a way of life for us in this country, and without sending panic and shockwaves throughout every religious community, what do you do? I've said this before, flat out. I was asked over the weekend in a conversation about this, what would you do? And I said, if I was running a congregation, sorry, the doors are locked before the services, and I've got somebody outside, I've got a guard outside, and I have somebody planted inside, maybe two people planted inside, because I want people to be able to pray or feel like they can worship how they want to worship without worrying about whether they could be shot if they stand up or they happen to be at a synagogue or a church or wherever at the wrong time. In the meantime, the president wants new regulations in 90 days, he's saying. This is what's washing out of the beginning of the week from D.C. Called for a ban on anyone who illegally crosses the border from obtaining a work permit, rather, and a 180-day limit for courts to handle asylum claims. We've talked about the courts and how they're overrun, and there's this backlog of cases that keeps ballooning. So how do you cut down on these cases? And that's the deal. And the memo that was released on Monday night included measures that would charge fees for those applying for humanitarian refuge in the United States, tightening the asylum rules, like I mentioned, with the work permit thing, and then saying, look at the surge of migrants from Central America coming to the southern border and where we're at, and these changes to the asylum system could help one of the most hair-raising, confounding aspects of what the surge is. And, of course, families trying to get safe passage along the U.S. asylum protections and what that means. But the numbers have overwhelmed our ability to hold people into custody and process the claims. Adults who come with kids are assigned a court date. They're released into the country. They reunite with family members. They take jobs while the claims are pending or out there, and this is what we've been doing again and 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 again. So here's more of that push again to do something different in these asylum cases. Where this ends up, I don't know, because you have asylum seekers who are fleeing for their lives. They're getting tortured or being killed in their home countries. They can't survive without assistance in the U.S. This is the game. This is what's now happened, these urgent circumstances, and the urgent circumstances are the ones that we used to really push for, but now there's so many that that's what it's turned into, a game of eeny, meeny, miny, mo, sadly. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, the court backlog, if you want to get an idea of it, you know what it's at? 850,000 cases, including asylum, 400 judges handling them. Speaking of numbers, we can count coming up on the other side.
Checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I got some shocking numbers for you here at the top of We Can Count. How about this? Avengers Endgame shattered every opening weekend box office record. You know how much it made in its debut? $1.22 billion. Is that crazy? The epic final. They've never seen anything like this. But here's now what they're talking about. Does this blockbuster have enough momentum to help movies in general? So to give you a perspective of it, if you go back and you look at Avatar, which was back in 2009, ticket sales there, $2.7 billion worldwide. But this is just the beginning of it, so who knows what this is going to end up to be. It is going to be epic. It already is epic. So to surpass Avatar, though, it's going to need a multiple of at least 2.2 times its debut to surpass it. I think it completely does, because it left people hanging. I think I told the story. If I didn't, I'm going to tell the story anyway. But I saw the last one, the last Avengers, that led up to Endgame. And there was a little boy. He was three seats over from me, just as cute as could be, with his father. And at the end of the movie, he started crying. And why did he cry? And he was very young. Because he loved these characters. And all of a sudden, he thought they're all dead and what happens to them. So they put together a smart cliffhanger, knowing that they would draw people back into the Avengers had an audience anyway, but knowing they would really draw people, I think, back into it. So that is a huge, huge number. I mean, wow. All right, the vegan world is so big now that it cannot be ignored even by the burger chains. How about this? Burger King is planning to release a plant-based Impossible Whopper, they call it, by the end of the year. Yeah, they're going to do it. They're testing it in markets right now, and they want to perfect it so that they can get it out there. They're doing it in St. Louis, and the results, I guess, are pretty good. It's available in 59 burger restaurants in and around that whole St. Louis area, and it is called the Impossible Whopper. Try it and don't taste the difference is what they say. That's the campaign. And they're smart, right? Because people are looking for vegetarian options, so this is a way to get more people in the door by offering that Whopper. How big and how popular and what it looks like at the end of the year, I mean, who knows? But they know that they had to tweak something, and so that's exactly what they came up with. All right, this is a crazy piece of history. I happened to see this when I was flying back from Hawaii, but a 404-year-old Bible stolen, they say, decades ago from the Carnegie Library in Pittsburgh was returned. It's the Geneva Bible. It was published in 1615, and it was one of like 300 things that were rare books that were stolen. Atlases, maps, all that kind of stuff, worth about $8 million, and they were discovered missing in 2017, so they didn't even know that. The Bible is a piece of evidence in a case, they say, but it's also this priceless, of course, artifact of massive significance to people of a lot of different faiths. And the stolen book is referred to as a breeches Bible because its Genesis chapter, check this out, describes Adam and Eve sewing fig leaves together to create breeches. That's what at least was reported in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Historians believe pilgrims who arrived in Massachusetts on the Mayflower in 1620 carried Geneva Bibles. That's what they think they had. Wow. So, boom, it gets returned. It was found in the Netherlands. The FBI was working with some people at a museum there, and they had this, they have an arch crime team apparently, and they got it back. So it's kind of priceless in a way from a historic perspective. Not kind of, it is priceless, but they found it. So there you go. That's the key, right? Is getting the thing back. And I looked at, they showed some pages from it. It was pretty intriguing, actually. It'd be wild to see that. When you see documents or any kind of artifacts like that, and you think of the significance, I don't know, there's something about it. And maybe it's because I'm like a history freak, and I think, you know, that whole thing about history is bound to repeat itself if you're not careful. I believe that. And when I saw that in Ireland, I've seen that in all the places I've been lucky to travel to, especially lately, and the significance of history and ultimately, it comes back to people and how people treated people and generations moving forward. And you see all that documentation. And certainly that 404-year-old Bible had significance because of where they believed it came from and how it was brought to the United States. So how about that? Going a little sad on you, but this was a strange piece of video, and I didn't even realize it had happened, but there was this giant crane that collapsed in Seattle, and it killed people. And they, you know, you see these cranes when you're driving around, when you're in a city, when they're doing work, any kind of city, and this crane collapsed, and they say now human error might be to blame for what happened on Saturday. It killed four people, injured four other people, and the video was strange. It just like disintegrated, just poof, fell over. And they say the reason the tower fell over is iron workers and the people working on it didn't follow the instructions for disassembling the crane. In other words, they're talking about the pins. If they had been in, it wouldn't have fallen over. So the mast fell Saturday when the workers were taking it apart. Sections landed on top of the new Google building that it was working on, and other pieces hit six cars on a very busy street. you know, down below. So two iron workers on the crane died, and they were young, in their 30s. You had a retired city worker. You had a university freshman, just 19. She died when it crushed her in a car. Sad thing to see that. You're just, you know, it's like one of those things you just assume, oh, that's secure, right? The thing is secure because they've been working on it for however long. It's a very strange accident that was not safely disassembled, the sections, and that's, you know, what it was. They say the crew shouldn't have taken out the bolts holding together the one section to a section below it, and you could see how it separated. So that's a very sad number. It's lucky that more people, frankly, the way it flew over, that more people weren't killed in that, but it was crazy to see it fall. John Singleton had an impact on not just the African American community, but I think a lot of people. He was a well-liked and acclaimed director, and he had a stroke, and he died at the age of 51, a massive stroke less than 2 weeks ago. So, you know, family and well-known people are releasing their sentiments about what a tremendously talented man he was. Think Boys in the Hood. And I really liked that movie. I've said this before, I've seen all of his movies. I thought they were really well done. But on the other side of this, the American Heart Association is saying, look, African Americans have the highest prevalence of high blood pressure, and this is a big risk factor for stroke and heart disease. So his family urged people even to be aware of signs of high blood pressure, that it's often described by many as a silent killer. So they're trying to share that message that, you know, you don't want to lose someone at the age of 51. And when you have a crazy number like 40% of African American men and women having high blood pressure, which develops early in life and then it gets more severe, try to catch that before it gets to that point where it's, you know, too late. And the kind of stroke that he had, that's often caused by narrow or clogged blood vessels in the brain that stop the blood flow to the brain cells. Remember, you had just had Luke Perry. And think about it. He was 52, and he had the stroke, and then that happened to him. And, of course, signs of stroke, we know, include arm weakness, speech difficulty, face drooping, and that kind of thing. And they say if any of that, any of those symptoms happen, boom, you need to immediately take care of it. But very, very, very sad. Coming up next, yeah, we're talking about sex. And then we're talking about diamonds. Does it get any better than that here on the show? Stay with us.
Know that this ain't my first time. Hear my promise today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
FBI agents prevented a terrorist attack in Los Angeles last Friday. U.S. Attorney Nick Hanna says U.S. military veteran Mark Domingo wanted retribution for attacks on mosques in New Zealand.
Fortunately, the IEDs that he planned to use weren't actual bombs. They were inert devices provided by the FBI that posed no danger to the public. They were delivered by a person Mr. Domingo thought was a Confederate, but who was in fact an undercover law enforcement officer.
Hanna says Domingo planned to set off explosives at several locations, Huntington Beach, the Port of Long Beach, and the Santa Monica Pier. He reportedly was targeting white nationalists, Jews, and churches. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who appointed Special Counsel Robert Mueller to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, submitted his resignation letter to the White House Monday, effective May 11th. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Excited to welcome to the show Ron Wieselmeyer. He's in our virtual green room right now. You're going to love the title of his book. You ready for this? Sex. It's sex. I'm serious. And the subtitle would be Baddest Sin or Goodest Pleasure. Ron, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
I'm glad to be here.
So in your book, I love it. I love the title because it's provocative, but it's really an interesting book. And I know you had a clear purpose for writing this book. Talk about where you saw the need and what got you thinking about, I need to do this book.
Well, it's kind of evolved over a period of years. Just different thoughts would come to my mind going way back 50 years or more ago. And about sexuality and how that so many people misinterpret what the real purpose of sexuality is. But what brought me to the point of writing this book now, because I never had any intention of being an author, my wife and I do short-term mission trips to different countries, and 3 years ago we were in Guatemala and El Salvador. And we visited three orphanages where they take these children that have been recaptured after being sold into the sex slave business. And we met some of these children, and we talked to the directors of these orphanages, and they said that these children will never be normal sexually. And after saying that, it just ripped my heart out. You know, we're talking about kids that are as young as 4 years of age, and then up into the low teens. And so after the time we had in El Salvador, we went back to Guatemala, and I locked myself in a room for almost a week and started writing, and that's how this book came about.
Wow. And so when you locked yourself in a room and you started writing, did the ideas just flow out?
Yeah, a lot of it just started to come out, you know, and then one thing would lead to another, and then it started to fall into place. And that's why when you look at the titles of the books and how that they follow one after another, it's just sort of one fell into place, then the next one, and the next one, and a good share of the book is about all the problems related to sex when it's done outside of the plan of the Creator.
Yeah, and we should tell everyone, Ron, and we're speaking with Ron Wieselmeyer, of course, the author is a minister / counselor, and you heard that a little bit in that story, and you help people find fulfillment, am I right, in their sexuality?
That's correct.
And do you find that because we put so much attachment to this word with so many different ways that for some people it becomes shameful or negative, you know, even in a marriage situation, people just don't really know how to deal with it?
That's correct. There's two major themes to our sexuality. And the first one is procreation. And I think most people understand that. God planned it so that when a man and a woman come together intimately, the purpose is to bear children. And that's why most people still choose marriage to this day, even though less and less people are going that direction. And so that's the first one. The second one I call recreation, meaning that sex is something to be enjoyed and experience real genuine fulfillment, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. The Bible makes it clear that in marriage, the bed is undefiled. In other words, there's nothing wrong with being close and nude with each other. In fact, when people are that way, life becomes more fulfilling than almost anything else we can do. When people are fulfilled, when they go off to work in the morning, they look forward to coming home in the evening. If they're not fulfilled in their relationship with their spouse, often they try to figure out ways to avoid coming home. Maybe they go to the bar or try to kill some time before they go home. But if it's done according to God's plan, we get excited about getting home to our spouse.
And so I love that, close and nude. So of all the people that you must have great stories, of all the people that you've counseled, it has to be rewarding to you when you see a couple or you see a person who's struggling with this really understand it, and it has to open up their life. And you said it, I think, in other ways, right?
That's correct. And you're right. The life is so much more fulfilling if we're doing it according to the plan of the Creator.
Yeah. And obviously knowing biblically what you're talking about and doing the research that you did and obviously pointing to that too as well. Do you think it's, because you've done this for a while, do you think it's worse now than it's ever been? Or do you think people are understanding that, or no, it's just the same struggle?
Well, I think for the most part it's worse. Some people will argue, no, it's just that it's coming to the fore more than in the past. But people have a way of following the lead. And when you have people that are unfulfilled and they're seeking for answers in life, and they may be undercover for a long time and experiencing a lot of depression and anxiety and guilt and those kinds of things. But now, because of people that have made a name for themselves, they're celebrities, whether it's in a leadership role of and politically or religiously or in sports, whatever, if that person is saying, hey, I think I found an answer here, other people say, well, let's give it a shot because we're empty too.
Oh, yeah. I understand what you're saying. There's no question about it. And we're speaking with Ron Wieselmeyer, and again, the name of the book is called Sex, Baddest Sin, or Goodest Pleasure. What's been the reaction to the book?
Most people say, hey, man, I never thought of it like this before. And just a couple of weeks ago, one person who purchased a copy of the book called me and he said, you know, I was reading that one chapter on celebrity sex, and he said, I thought I was reading today's newspaper. And yet I wrote that part about, I don't know, 3 years ago, and I never thought of it that way. But when he said that, all you have to do is pay attention to the news, and you know what's going on in Washington, what's going on in Hollywood, and different states where they're pushing for new ideas about how they can be fulfilled sexually. It's one of the terms that I use in the book, which is I say that we're a lot like lemmings. We follow the leader, and we go downhill very fast and furious.
Yeah, there you go. That's an interesting term, absolutely, to use it that way. And I said the subtitle, Baddest Sin or Goodest Pleasure. What do you mean by baddest sin?
Well, that's kind of interesting how that came about. You know, in the Bible, in the first few chapters, talking about creation, and then when it got to the last day of the week, God created, creating animals in the sky and birds and all these other things, at the end of each day, he said, and it was good. He created man, he said, it was very good. So I said, well, that sounds like goodest, the opposite of goodest. That was just bad or evil, so I just use the term goodest and baddest.
Yeah, I like that, goodest and baddest, because it definitely conjures up images, that's for sure. When I mentioned this before, when you work with people in your work and you talk to them about how they feel about their sexuality and marriages and family and society, what is there one common thread that you get back in the beginning of counseling somebody about sexual intimacy that may help all the people that are listening and are going to want to go buy your book?
Boy, that's a one common thread. That's a good question, because there's every situation is so different. But I'd have to say that the one common thread is that people's lives are such that they're suicidal. They're trying to find answers. They're just empty, and they're trying to find something that will fill that vacuum.
Right, and so that's the reason that you feel like people get into these problems and they wrestle with the equation. But you said it. I love the way you said this too, Ron. Close and nude, and the feeling of that intimacy, because you use the word intimacy, and that's really the big part of it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the book is terrific, and I would tell anyone listening to this, don't wrestle with those questions, Ron. It really has his finger on the pulse of something very important, and the book is called Sex, Baddest Sin, or Goodest Pleasure. Ron, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Well, you're very welcome. You have a blessed day.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even...
A girl's best friend. You remember that old song, Carol Channing? I think was the first one to do it. But regardless, I know you've heard the song. I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 80. So I like diamonds. I know some of you certainly have been shopping for diamonds, some of you guys that listen to this show. But how about pure grown diamonds? Have you heard about pure grown diamonds? And what does that mean? I think there's a confusion about what it means. And what's interesting is diamond production is going through the roof. They're talking about where it will actually scale up to. So it's perfect to have TJ Walker on with us. He's a spokesperson for Pure Grown Diamonds. And TJ, I guess that's the first question. If I say that to someone, they're like, oh, so that means pure grown, you must grow them in a lab. Am I right? How does that work?
Yes, they're grown in a laboratory. You start with a diamond seed, which is made of pure carbon. Mm. It's put in a greenhouse. It grows for 9 to 12 weeks, and then you cut the diamond, you polish it, you mount it, and it can get on your finger or your ear. It takes about 9 months from concept until you're wearing it. Here's the thing that I didn't even realize until I started working with the company. These are genuine diamonds. These are type 2A diamonds. Only 2% of all diamonds have that classification. So they're incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, you know, and when you, as what you just described, that process, what is the difference between a natural process, because that's going to be an obvious question, versus what you just described with the lab-grown process?
Well, there are a couple of big differences, but think of it this way. If someone gives you a beautiful lily or a beautiful rose, do you know if it was made in a greenhouse or in someone's backyard? Mm-hmm. They're both roses and lilies, and they can both be beautiful. So at some level, a diamond is a diamond. Now, there are some important differences. Number one, these are eco-grown, because the problem with mine diamonds, according to Frost and Sullivan, an international consulting firm, is there's 7 times the damage to the environment in a mined diamond. Think of mines and digging all the dirt, water, and air pollution. The other big issue, frankly, is all the social issues. Lab-grown diamonds are socially sustainable. A mined diamond, don't listen to me, listen to someone like Amnesty International. They've disclosed how so much of mined diamonds goes to fund civil wars, tyrants, child labor. Places like the Philippines, you have 11-year-olds forced to dive 60 feet deep with just a tube in their mouth, and kids die from this.
It's awful. It's awful. And I think a lot of people saw, you know, if you saw the movie, what was it called, Blood Diamonds, that whole story. I mean, I know it's a movie, but it brought out a lot of what you're talking about, where some people weren't realizing what was going on with the mined diamonds.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people are asking themselves, especially millennials, if you're trying to, you know, put a spotlight on a major event in your life, starting a life, a marriage with someone, for example, why not do that with something that symbolizes love and peacefulness and something good for the environment, instead of something that involves destruction to the environment and destruction to people? The third big difference between mined diamonds and lab-grown diamonds is lab-grown diamonds are typically 30% less expensive, 30 to even 40%. So if you're getting a typical sort of 1-carat engagement ring, a mined diamond might be $5,000. A lab-grown diamond is going to be more like $3,000. That's a couple thousand dollars more for a honeymoon or a down payment for a house or a car or any other big expense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's a big difference, because you think of the markup on mined diamonds. So here's another question some would ask, I would think. You know, my brother used to joke that he'd see some women with huge diamonds, and he said, you know, you could cut someone's cheek with that. But how durable are the lab-grown diamonds compared to the mined diamonds?
There is literally no difference, because, again, they're both genuine diamonds. It's 99.95% pure carbon. It's 99.9% devoid of nitrogen. If you take it to a jeweler or a gemologist and they look at it underneath one of those glass things, they cannot tell the difference. Again, think of it as someone brings you beautiful roses or beautiful lilies. Can you tell if it was grown in a greenhouse versus someone's backyard? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. It's interesting, too, because I was sent some statistics on this, and there was a study, as you know, that was done by the PhD Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and they talk about, in this, the production of lab-grown diamonds, and they say it's going to scale up to 20 million carats by 2030. You mentioned millennials. Is that part of the reason why?
Yes. Increasingly these days, millennials really don't want to be associated with something that's wildly destructive to the environment the way mined diamonds are. They don't really want their money going directly or indirectly to support the tyrants, dictators, and child labor. So that's one of the huge attractions driving the increase in lab-grown diamonds and the pure-grown diamonds. The other factor, frankly, is just there's an increased world demand. People in China and the rest of the world see the United States, and they see old Elizabeth Taylor movies and new movies, too, and people like diamonds. And as more and more of the world enters the middle class, they want the things American middle class people have, which is diamond rings, diamond earrings, etc.
Yeah. With the with the lab-grown diamonds, is it still the same thing where I can shop? Okay, it's already been grown, and I'm just shopping what kind of cut I want, what kind of clarity and color and what you would normally do with diamonds?
Sure. These come in brilliant and emerald cuts, princess cuts. They come in fancy pink, bright yellow, colorless, or white. And the best thing is to just go to a local jeweler you know and respect, and if they don't have pure-grown diamonds, they can get them for you. If you want to make sure before you start driving around town, you can always go to puregrowndiamonds.com and type in your address, and the website will tell you the closest jeweler to where you live that carries lab-grown and pure-grown diamonds.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. I think it'd be cool to see it go from to be in that lab, frankly, and to see it go from when it's being grown to the end product. I mean, that would be neat to watch that process. Have you seen the process?
I haven't, but again, we're talking about the whole process is about 9 months long.
Yeah.
The process in the greenhouse is 9 to 12 weeks. So
wow.
The process is interesting. As far as looking at any one second, it's, it is a slow process.
Yeah, slow process, but it has to be really cool to see that. All right, we're going to get the show somewhere where we can get near watching the diamonds grow. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. Do you have a favorite cut of diamond? Princess cut, right?
I have purchased princess cut and brilliant cut myself.
I know, it's so complicated. All right, a lot of fun. TJ, thanks so much, TJ Walker.
Thank
you. Appreciate
you.
It. Wow, interesting talking to TJ about it. I know I'm fascinated by this whole process. You heard me mention to him how I'd love to see the process from the very beginning. I mean, in my head, it's like planting carrots. It's like planting something in this lab, watching it grow. And then, as he said, the whole greenhouse part. I think the significance here is the key things he said. Younger people want nothing to do with the mined diamonds. And that means a lot of what Amnesty International did, that movie Blood Diamond, the awareness of what was happening really is starting to hit home with some people. And you talk about the demand for diamonds by 2030 to be 221 million carats. That's pretty big, and how much of that is we're talking about that's going to be grown is so interesting. And I think that this will just continue to ratchet up. I mean, I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger by comparison. And again, especially when you talk about the whole mine diamonds thing versus that very cool, very 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 cool thing of lab-grown diamonds that are exactly the same. So there's no difference whatsoever between the two. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.